Hey, this is Simon with The Ed Show, episode 23. I'm joined with David today, and we're going to cover the news. A lot of big announcements. We just had MMS. There's some big changes of the System Center and Windows Server. So first, let's talk about Windows Server. It's coming out soon, and we've just announced the name. It's now going to be Windows Server 2012.
Yep.
So no more Windows Server 8. Windows Server 2012 is the official name.
I like it because it's nice to kind of distinguish between the two. It does take a little bit for me now to start getting used to calling them different things, but I think for people, when you hear Windows 8, that'll be referring to the client. When you hear Windows 2012 or Windows Server 2012, you'll be referencing the server product.
So hopefully it's easier. We just got to go update all of our slides, but hey, that's our problem to deal
with. That's right,
But we also announced that the release candidate version for Windows Server 2012 and Windows 8, the client edition, is going to be coming out at the start of June. So a little over a month's time, you're going to be able to get your hands on the release candidate. Some great stuff. I mean, I'm excited about it. But more excited, I think you have a jump start coming up soon.
That's right. That's right. We have a consumerization of IT jump start. So if you're wanting to know more information about bring your own device, mobile device management, what to do with all of these devices coming into your network, people wanting to use stuff, whether or not you approve of it or not, how do you deal with that? So we've got a two-day jump start on May 15th, 16th. If you go to aka.ms/consumer-IT, that'll redirect you to this page that you see up here on the screen. And then also at MMS, we just got back from MMS, and there were a lot of announcements at MMS, as well as the Edge show was at MMS. We shot approximately 20 videos or so. And if you haven't gotten a chance to check those out, please do so. You can go to aka.ms/MMS2012. It'll really be good. We've done a lot of demos in our interviews, and it'd be good for you if you want to maybe check out and know what sessions you might want to go watch of MMS to give you a little taste or a preview of things. And then also we have, of course, the big announcement at MMS is the general availability of System Center 2012.
Woo-hoo.
I know, lots of
it's been
products.
A while now.
Yeah, I know, lots of products under that hood. But the final bits are up there now. You can go download the final bits evals. You know, check out the final product and start playing around with it. Then also, we also showed off for the first time the next wave of Windows Intune. And we've added a lot of stuff into that product. It was actually in the day two keynote. We showed off some of the things that you could do there. And you actually also right now for, I'm not sure how long they're going to leave it open, but they have a preview of the next version of Windows Intune available for trial. If you go to aka.ms/wintune, you can actually go and sign up for a trial.
Spell that out for us.
Wintune.
All right.
And then another announcement we had is MDT 2012 is the final release code. So that's a great tool if you want to go and, of course, deploy apps, operating systems, integrate it in with Configuration Manager. We've covered that in the past, but that was also released or announced at MMS.
Well, that was a great flash summary of all the stuff from MMS. But again, check out our videos, the TechNet Edge Show, and we have a ton of other information up there as well.
And I think you've got some private cloud stuff.
We do. A couple big things have just come out. So, as you know, we just hit general availability. So the first is the private cloud evaluation guide. This is a pretty detailed white paper with everything you need to do to get set up with hardware storage, networking, installation of all the components. And you can get that at aka.ms/PC guide for private cloud guide. Finally, we've just released 14 click-through demos. They're streamed using DemoMate, so if you actually want to get a bit of a hands-on experience but don't necessarily want to spend the time actually deploying the labs, setting up the configuration, putting all the pieces together, go check out these evaluation labs. They cover 14 different scenarios that cover literally every single System Center component, a lot of great integration from application management, service delivery automation, and infrastructure management. And you can check those out today at aka.ms/PC labs. For private cloud labs. Now, as we wrap that up, we're actually going to be talking a little more about service delivery and automation with my guest coming up. Sean Christensen will be joining me in a minute, and we're going to give you a lot more information about System Center 2012. So glad you're excited. I'm glad the product's out there. Now we can start using it. Thanks. Hey, it's Simon, and it's Ed Show episode 23. I'm joined again by Sean Christensen, and we're going to be covering service delivery and automation, but this time focusing on monitoring and operating our service layer.
Yep.
Sean, why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm Sean Christensen. I'm a senior product marketing manager here at Microsoft on the System Center and Windows Server team. I focus primarily on what we call service delivery and automation for the data center, private cloud, and Windows Server.
Great. Well, we had you a few weeks ago, and we talked about service delivery and automation, but that time we focused more on deployment.
Correct.
And we said kind of the three big categories, the three big themes we looked at were automation, self-service, and standardization.
Yep.
Now, when we think about monitoring and operating, we have three big themes again that we're going to talk about. One of them is still automation, but tell us, what are the other two?
The other two, so we talked about automation, and like you said, I kind of work in threes. The other one is integration, and the third one is reporting. And the idea being, we still have automation is used from a deployment capability point of view. Automation is also very useful when we get into how do we keep things running and be able to do more with less. Integration is about really making it easier to support because we have greater visibility of what we've got in our infrastructure, in our private cloud, in our data center environments, so we can provide better support, we can provide better disaster recovery capabilities. And the last one from a reporting standpoint, reports. Everyone wants good reports. They want to know what's happening inside their data centers, inside their private clouds, and quite often they want to know what's happening across different different components of that they're managing. So they have repository for client information, for detailed server information, for how applications are related to each other and how they're tied to the infrastructure, and how we go about bringing that together into a centralized reporting tool.
Great. Well, let's talk first a little more about integration.
Sure. Now,
what's important about integration? How does having an integrated story in a large data center, private cloud environment really help our IT professionals? Yep.
So for IT professionals, let me start with a story. In previous life, one of my peers took a customer into their data center. Three different people, they pointed at a particular server in that data center and said, tell me what's on it. How many answers do you think you got?
Probably not just the same.
No, you got three separate answers from three separate people. And why? Because they're each looking at their own repositories of information. Maybe it's a spreadsheet, maybe it's a database. If they're fairly mature, they've got something that automatically updates. Integration is about bringing that information together, reconciling it together inside the CMDB or configuration management database that sits in Service Manager, and giving IT pros really a centralized picture of what we have inside of our infrastructure, so that you don't get three separate answers from three separate people. You get a single answer, and you get a robust, content-rich answer that you're able to use in either planning new deployments or providing support or managing change.
So what exactly is the CMDB? How does that work?
Sure. So CMDB is an acronym standing for Configuration Management Database. And it was born out of another acronym called ITIL, or the IT Infrastructure Library, which has been around for about 15, 20 years. It's really a database or a repository, is a better word to put it, because it could sometimes be made up of multiple databases, that contain information about your IT infrastructure. And there's two pieces that really make a CMDB unique from just a standard asset repository. One is you have information about the infrastructure, your configuration items in your organization. The second thing that makes it unique is you also contain information about the relationships between those configuration items. So you understand the upstream and downstream and peer-to-peer dependencies of your infrastructure. So we don't think of a particular business service like, say, email or Link or SharePoint or a line of business application as a single application. There's routers, there's switches, there's hubs, there's operating systems, there's servers, there's virtual environments that all go into making up each of those services. A CMDB will contain information about each of those relationships and allow you to search on that and use that information in either planning for deployments or providing support to organizations.
Great. So now that we've pulled everything together, we've got our integrated story, we understand how all the pieces fit together. Where does automation fit into the picture?
Automation is about leveraging that information and really being able to do more with less. I talked about automation from a deployment standpoint of being able to allow customers to request, say, a new virtual machine and have the fulfillment of that automated start to finish. So the only person that touches a request is the person that actually made the request. IT pros, the IT staff at the back end, don't have to think about it. Things just happen, and they can monitor its progress as opposed to physically doing the work. Automation from monitoring and operating is very much the same way. Being able to react and respond to errors in your infrastructure automatically and remediate those activities automatically based on predetermined procedures. Example I share is one of my customers that I went and presented to a couple months ago. I talked about Orchestrator, the System Center 2012 Orchestrator component that we have, and its automation capabilities for being able to basically manage, react to errors, and automatically respond, kick off runbooks, be able to perform activities. Their eyes got huge. They got really excited because they saw their ability to magnify their effectiveness. They didn't have to sit around waiting for things to happen and respond or have things come up during the day that take away time from them. They saw the opportunity to automate all the reactive activities, automate their proactive day-to-day, what are sometimes called standard operating procedures, and then monitor the progress of those runbooks and take action if there was an error. It took activities off their plate, allowed them to focus more time on the kind of what we call the cool stuff that IT pros don't often get to do because there's never enough hours in the day.
Well, if we're automating all of these repetitive tasks, can't that potentially take jobs away from people?
You know, yes, and I have had that question asked. And to share a perspective, there's two ways of looking at this. One, you can look at it as, hey, I'm going to lose my job. The other is, now I have an opportunity to work on all this stuff that I never have enough time in the day
to do.
That
huge checklist everyone
has,
right?
Yeah, every IT pro, they got this huge, long checklist that they need to work through, and they never get through everything because something always comes up. We just had the Microsoft Management Summit, and I was presenting to a room full of about 400 people on one of my sessions, and I asked this very question. I said, show of hands, how many people in here think automating your standard procedures and even your reactive issues are going to make it easier for you to do more, do the cooler stuff inside your organization, or how many of you are going to think that this is going to take away your job? Three people in a room of 400 people, three people raised their hands saying, I'm scared that this is going to take away my job. Everybody else thought, yep, this is going to make it so much better for me. I'm going to be able to do more. I can get on and not have to deal with all the little repetitive, niggly things that just kind of suck time away from me each and every day. And I can get on and do some more of the cool stuff.
I mean, I think one of the big value added of this, it makes these IT pros more valuable to their organization, right? They're no longer doing repetitive tasks. They're building new services, getting services out faster. They're really enhancing value to the business, which is going to make the business more money, which is going to make them a more valuable part of the enterprise.
Absolutely.
Now, the third component that we want to talk about is reporting. Tell me, how does this fit in?
So reporting is one of those areas that always needs to happen. How do you share information about how IT is performing, how the services that you're running are performing, how your service desk is performing? And I remember from my own history, I would build a report for my manager. I'd hand it off to them. They'd say, hey, great, thank you very much. By the way, could you just change these two little areas? Don't spend too much time on it, which is always
too much time.
And share with, and okay, I'd take the feedback, I'd go back, I'd tweak the report, sometimes take me a couple hours to do, depending on what kind of tweaks they wanted. Come back, share it with them, they say, great, thank you, but could I have it yet another way? What we've done, and also, quite often they want pivots on information across different groups, across different systems, and often that required me to really take a look across different types of environments and show what we were able to, or show different repositories of information. You had to blend that information together. What System Center 2012 provides, specifically out of the Service Manager Data Warehouse, is a cross-System Center reporting capability. Being able to take data from Configuration Manager, Operations Manager, Service Manager, Active Directory, Virtual Machine Manager, blend it together and present reporting capability that it leverages what I consider the most prolific business intelligence tool on the planet, and that's Excel. And we use pivot tables, and we use a lot of native Excel functionality to actually present reports now. And yeah. We still maintain for those who are using System Center Service Manager 2010, we still maintain the old SQL Server reporting services, canned reports that we provide out of the box. But we also provide these what are now OLAP cubes inside of the data warehouse and make it possible to build reports just using Excel. Save those to a file share, mail them to a manager, and build in the tweaks and build in the ability to modify the reports, because you're just selecting pivot table fields as opposed to having to build complex reports and really hack into code. A lot more powerful, a lot more flexibility.
And I think this ties back to the other two things, because of course these reports are automatically generated and it's an integrated story. It shows how everything across the whole environment is working.
Absolutely.
So let's take a look. Show us some of the nice features.
So before I actually get the mouse and jump into this, I want to actually walk you through what we're seeing here on the screen. This is a report that I built ahead of time for the purposes of this that I showed at MMS last week. And this is got a couple of things in here. First one is, on the left-hand side, we've got a couple of tables. Now, these are just simple pivot tables that will bring up, that show information about our incident classifications as well as incident values. So how many incidents of what different type do we have inside of our Service Manager data warehouse? We got another report that shows total plus active, and another report down here that shows by priority how many are, what's our totals and what actives. Notice the values are slightly different. That's all right, because we've got different filters turned on. We've got some charts built off of these tables. These are pivot tables, and I got pivot charts. So same data, just presented in graphical format. And then I'm using what are called slicers. Now, slicers are a native Excel feature that allow you to take values in a pivot table and really dynamically change the data on the fly. And this is basically a standard report that comes out of the Service Manager Data Warehouse. I opened it from within. I'm going to jump onto the screen here. From within Service Manager, we can see I've got inside my reporting pane a new analysis library and a series of Excel reports that I can share around and make available. And these are just reports that I built off of the cubes inside of Service Manager.
So what type of skills do you need to go set this up to create a report?
Well, the Excel files, I built myself. But everything else we provide and start with out of the box. How that starts, and I'll go ahead and jump into Service Manager now, is we have our data warehouse workspace here inside Service Manager. And we have a new folder called cubes. Now this is coming up. And we ship about 6 different OLAP cubes out of the box with Service Manager, covering all of the work items, so incidents, problems, changes, and releases, service requests, a service requests cube, a configuration items cube, a power consumption cube that comes from Configuration Manager that you can use and build out your different reports. So this is designed to take a little bit of time, so I might switch over to the actual report. Using that cube, I can then build my particular reports here. And I can see here inside of Excel, I'm just using the native Excel functionality here and looking at the different values. I've got my table here. I got my chart that I built. Literally how I built this is I clicked and dragged and selected different fields inside of Excel for my particular pivot table. And then I also inserted a slicer that allows me to change values. And you notice I just clicked on a value in my chart down here, adjusted. It's because I have this slicer attached to this particular chart. I can dynamically change those as I want. So I'm going to go ahead and select my slicer. I'm going to go to table properties. I'm going to say, you know what? Don't worry about table 3, which is this one down here. I'm going to go to table 1 up top here. Go ahead and change that. And you notice, now I can start dynamically just drilling in and looking at the data however I want. I'm not customizing a report. I've built the dynamic capabilities inside of my report, and I can share this out with the manager.
So this means the manager doesn't tell you that you have to go tweak it. He has the capability to make the adjustments himself.
Absolutely.
Now, what if our managers just aren't that familiar with Excel? Can we go publish this information to other places?
Yes, you can publish this to SharePoint. And make this available. You can publish this to a file share and just give read-only access. You can even take this, and I mentioned you can publish it to SharePoint. One of the things you can also do is take these same types of reports. You can actually build them inside of Performance Point in SharePoint Enterprise.
So what exactly is Performance Point? I'm not familiar with
it. No, that's fine. So one of the components of, so we have two types of SharePoint. We have SharePoint Foundation and SharePoint Enterprise. SharePoint Enterprise contains a capability called Performance Point. It was a prior product that we sold. We then embedded it inside of the SharePoint product. It's a business intelligence dashboard tool. It does a host of other things, but one of the things that we've leveraged for the Service Manager Data Warehouse is the ability to create Performance Point dashboards in SharePoint Enterprise and real-time update the information from the Service Manager data warehouse, from the cubes, onto a SharePoint dashboard.
So real-time meaning something happens, you immediately see the results that
have changed. So when it shows up in the data warehouse, you're seeing it inside the dashboard. Just bring it up or hit refresh on the browser, and your dashboard's up to date. So you always have the latest, most up-to-date information, or the transfer between the data warehouse happens, I think, on average about every 60 minutes. So your data's...
Very nice. So managers aren't waiting once a month.
Yeah.
Last day of the month, they see the report. None of that anymore.
Exactly. None of that anymore. No having to wait either by day, by week, by month for their standard reports. You can pre-build them either in an Excel file and share it with them, or in a performance, in a dashboard, and just give them the URLs, give them the file, and say, check it whenever you want. The data, even from an Excel file, the data maintains itself and is up to date.
So can we take a look at those cubes if they've now opened up in ServiceManager?
So here we go. So we got our, we've got gone back into the Service Manager console, and we have our data warehouse cubes. And the cubes themselves are, you actually don't pull up the cube. It shows you each of the different pieces. But we have, for example, here's a software update cube. That information came from Configuration Manager. It presents information about configuration items and their updates. And we can see there's a couple of key things I want to show here inside of for each cube. There's two concepts that I tell people you need to really understand when you're building these reports. We have what's called dimensions, and we have something called measures. Here we have dimensions and we have measures. A measure is a measurement of something. So the count of incidents, or count of configuration items, count of software updates. A dimension is a hard fact, such as incident classification or configuration item name. So if you wanted to understand, so in understanding these two things, when you're building your pivot table, if I flick it back over here to Excel, my left-hand column here, in this case showing the different values or classifications, that's a dimension. The actual number, so that incident dim count, that's a measure. Inside the pivot tables, we earmark those and show them based on a measures signified by a sigma sign. Understanding this a lot makes it easier to build reports, because you know your measure is going to be the value that you want to report on, and then say across date or time. The dimension is the classification of that value. Key thing, very simple, but when I was starting out and learning a lot of this myself, understanding that helped me. Once I understood those two concepts, I was able to more quickly build my reports.
Great tip.
So a couple other of the cubes we have. We had the Service Manager Work Items cube, which is what I built the report that I've been showing you off of. The Cloud Services cube is part of the Cloud Services Process Pack that, if I talk back to what we were talking about in the Configure and Deploy segment, the Cloud Services Process Pack is out-of-the-box best practices, or practices for actually provisioning virtual machines and cloud capacity inside your environment. Couple other Service Manager Configuration Items, again, details from our CMDB, but that's coming from Configuration Manager, from Virtual Machine Manager, from Active Directory, and being able to report on all that information. Power Management from Config Manager, Change and Activity Management, so if you want to build change management specific reports, even look at building a change management schedule or calendar, you can start using that cube and start building out those pivot tables and build out that report.
Excellent. A lot of great information here.
Absolutely.
So any final words for our audience?
Look, my big final is go play with it.
Yeah.
It's RTM. It's publicly available now. Go to Microsoft.com/System Center or /Private Cloud. Download System Center 2012.
And just downloading the RTM. No more release candidates. You got the final product.
No betas, no release candidates. You got the final product now.
Excellent. Thanks so much for your time.
Simon, thank you for having
me. Have a good one. All right, well, Sean, it was a great interview. Hope you learned a lot more about some of the reporting capabilities with the integration, the automation, and all of that great stuff coming with System Center 2012, Service Delivery and Automation. And I'm going to be back next week with Adam Hall, and we're going to be talking about application management, how we deploy and configure these apps in broad environments, whether that's the public cloud, private cloud, or even a hybrid cloud, a bit of both.
All righty, and if you want to have certain interviews or see certain interviews or have comments to the Edge team, feel free to send us an email, edge@microsoft.com, send us a tweet to @TNEdge, and hopefully we'll catch you next time.
Thanks.